There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you having sex?
I'm Christina Hutton.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your disgusting boyfriend.
Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Hello, fuckers. How you doing? Where you been? Wear a condom. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the Anti-Slut-Shaming Podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome to the show.
And please welcome Eric Freddy.
Hi, everybody.
Hey. He's behind. He's doing the beep boop, beep boop, beep boop.
We changed cameras. He got here at, 7 in the morning. Apparently was here last night.
That's crazy.
Loves working. Yeah. Loves. Obviously had an unstable childhood.
Hell yeah.
He's trying to make up for it. And we appreciate that.
Yes.
Thank you so much for showing up. Welcome. We've been really teasing for weeks that Eric is coming. And then it keeps being Mike.
Yeah.
So here he is.
Yay. He's here.
Hey, everybody.
How you feeling, Eric?
I feel fine. I got a sinus infection right now.
Hell yeah.
So I'm a little.
This is perfect. There's always, Mike always had an ailment. So
yes.
The listeners are going to feel so comfortable
yeah.
that you are, 10 years younger and still
got ailments.
Continuously ailing.
Aches and pains.
Yeah, my back is messed up. I got a sinus infection. I got a thing in my nose.
I feel like that your back might be because of the work you do and being so tall, you're always hunched over.
Yeah, it's that and the flights.
I was going to say, does riding in a plane really suck for you?
Yeah.
It's the worst. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever get like Delta comfort, like a little bit of extra leg room?
No.
And you don't deserve it. You didn't earn it yet.
Yeah, you got to work harder.
The best
you're
working
pretty hard.
The best is when you get like the 3 seats right in a row.
Yeah, that's a rarity, but yes, it is nice.
Honestly, I'll take even one open seat next to me in coach, I think is better than comfort. Easily.
Yes.
Yeah.
Easily.
Because then you could at least put your little toes on it or something.
I like that. And I just, and no one's elbow is on me. I can't hear the clicking in the back of someone's throat.
Oh, I hate when other people make noise.
I always know it's going to be a problem when someone sits down and looks at me and goes, hi.
That's going to
be a long flight.
The best is when somebody you're in 3 seats.
Yeah.
You have the window, the middle seat, they don't show up.
Yeah.
And then the end seat, they have a cute ass dog.
Mm.
That's always fun. That happened to me once.
I rarely get a dog in my row.
Oh, that sucks.
I had like a big dog, like a dog sitting on the floor by my feet.
Yeah, I've had that before too.
That would be cute. It's awesome. Never get that.
They're such good boys.
Sad. I did have that bus the dog that someone threw up on and then sat on my lap.
I remember that.
And I didn't mind. That's how much I love dogs. There was human throw up on the dog and I still pet the dog.
Wait,
I thought it was dog vomit.
No.
It was human vomit.
It was a negligent owner. I was like drunk on this bus. This is back in the day when Christine and I had to travel by bus at like mega bus everywhere. The owner threw up on the dog. The dog hated the owner. He ran to the seat behind, which was me and Christina, jumped in my lap. And I quickly realized he had human vomit on him. But I was like, he needs pets more than this. Vomit's going to bother me. I was like, I can wash off the vomit. these pets are going to last forever.
Yeah, they're going to make an indent on that dog's soul. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, the poor guy.
Yeah.
The poor dog, rather.
Yeah, I felt bad. I felt bad. Well, I do feel bad. The guy was obviously in a bad place, but sure. He didn't need to bring the dog to the bad place with him.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Where were we?
I have no fucking clue.
That, God, I wouldn't have remembered that.
I mean, probably going to like, I would get, it would have to be somewhere like DC, Baltimore, yeah. Philly, like on the way to one of those. Right. 'Cause those are the only places like I think that mega bus goes.
Oh my God. Us taking the bus.
I feel like Baltimore, maybe we were going to, I feel like we used to take the bus to Baltimore, like to Magoobies or something.
Ooh, yeah, probably. That would make sense.
Yeah.
It's a little quick trip.
Yeah.
Guys, are you in Los Angeles on May 11th? Well, you're in luck because Corinne and I will be doing a live recording of Guys We Fucked at Netflix is a Joke Festival at the Regent Theater.
Woo, that's big.
Yeah, it's a big one. So buy your tickets. 550 seats. Don't make us look like chumps.
Yeah. And Joel Ronson, I'm going to have to say it, son of John Ronson, is going to be performing music because, you know, we feature independent artists on the show all the time. So we thought it would be cool if we really brought the podcast to life with that. He's very British and very excited.
So British.
He's so British.
Oh my God. We were talking on the phone with him last night. I'm like, you are the most British. I feel like you should live in a forest.
Yeah, he's British in person. And then we spoke to him on the phone for the first time yesterday. Even more British.
Way more British.
It's exceptionally British.
Yeah. So come see his British ass, play some music, and then our American asses talk to a very special guest for an amazing episode of the show.
Man, what a good guest we have.
And yeah, they're phenomenal, and you're going to lose your shit. Bring a barf bag.
Yeah.
And then go barf in the toilet. And if you are in Springfield, Missouri, March 22nd and 23rd, I'm headlining the Blue Room. And I'm very excited. It's going to be a good time. Come see me Friday and Saturday. Two shows both days. Ooh, ooh.
All right. If you want to send us an email, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. This subject line says, how do I avoid all these eggshells I'm walking on? Hi, Christina, Corinne, and Eric. Oh, sweet. Look how excited he got. Wait, Eric, have you got, I've been kind of tracking your followers. Have you gotten more followers?
Yeah, I've gone up probably like 400.
Okay. Nice. Well, let's make that better, everybody. Yeah.
Come on.
But that's still nice. That's still nice.
Wait, before we start, can I plug dates?
Oh boy, here we go.
Oh, Jesus. Never mind. I won't
no, you will allow it. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm coming to Edmonton, 6th through 9th of June. I'm coming to,
I wouldn't have said it like that.
What am I coming? I got a
6th through 9th of June. What are you British?
Are you writing a letter to your loved one across the seas?
June 6th through 9th. This is American podcast.
June 6th through 9th. I'll be in Edmonton. Let me pull up the calendar. I got a bunch of
things. You got the opportunity and you aren't even ready.
The dates right, unless you have them available,
I'll do it at the end. I'll do it at the end. Never mind.
This is your hazing, Eric. I hope you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Chris, Sina, Corinne, and Eric. Loyal fucker here. I saw you guys at your recent LA Valentine's Day show.
See you on May 11th, baby.
At the Comedy Store. And despite there being some truly unhinged audience participation at the 8 p.m. performance, I had a great time finally seeing you guys live.
Should have been at the late show.
I mean, that wasn't our fault. Thanks for everything you do and for making our Valentine's Day special. Now to my problem. I'm a 31-year-old female and my 32-year-old male partner and I have been together for 5 years. We connected while dating because of our similar career aspirations and desire to achieve a sustainable work-life balance. Sounds hot. Our similar spectrum of political views and sense of adventure, a few common hobbies and interests we share together, etc. He was the most incredible support 1 year into our relationship when my best friend of 10 years took her life during COVID. Oof,
so
that's rough.
Sorry.
At which time I was simultaneously in graduate school pursuing two master's degrees after struggling with my mental health and anxiety working in the film industry during my 20s.
Oof.
I honestly don't know what I would have done without him during that time. He's very supportive of my new boss bitch career path in architecture, and I feel the same about his career ambitions too. We often bounce ideas off of one another, and our collaborative synergy is great. We moved in together 2 years ago, and despite the typical hurdles of establishing boundaries and carving out alone time, we make a great team. I'm incredibly extroverted, and he is super supportive of me going to spend time with my friends.
That's a lot of info before the butt.
I know. I have a lot of male friends, which doesn't seem to be an issue for him. Well, we figured if you're in architecture or film or any of those things, he is
very, working.
Yeah, if you have a job, he is very introverted and needs space for his solo hobbies. I mean, that just sounds like one long masturbation.
Hey, babe, I gotta do my solo hobby. Can you come on a little later?
Which I respect and understand. We split all of the domestic responsibilities equally too, and I can absolutely see ourselves sharing a life and a family together in the future. But Our senses of humor and communication styles are incredibly different. I'm a very witty and sarcastic person, and it takes a lot to offend me in general.
Nice.
Oh no. Is this a guy who can't take jokes? Yuck.
That's usually the woman's job.
Yeah. Oh, an offended boy. A lot of my friends are comics or entertainers, and although I am not one, I do enjoy the witty banter of being around funny people. Conversely, he is very sensitive and I said it with such venom. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't mind a sensitive guy.
I love a sensitive guy.
But sensitive to humor, I do mind.
Yeah.
And despite having fun and lighthearted conversations with humor involved, it only takes one joke of mine to trigger him.
Trigger?
We'll often be having a completely normal conversation when I'll make a sarcastic slight at something, almost never a personal slight towards him, and he'll become extremely offended, shut down the conversation, and quote, need space for hours sometimes.
This is a clue.
That he's a pussy-ass bitch?
No, that he has some issues he's got to work on.
Oh, I recognize that sometimes I do say offhanded things. Yeah, she could also... I think a lot of times, and this is... I'm going to say this is a women issue. A lot of times women will write us letters saying they're funny, and I can tell they're just being a huge cunt. Like, I can just tell. Yeah. And, like, it takes one to know one, right? I can tell that you're just... You're a huge cunt who's making passive-aggressive comments that you are disguising as humor. The same way men do it online. Like, women are capable of it, too. The same way men will say terrible, misogynistic things to women or sexually perverse things and go, I was just joking.
Right.
Women do that, too. It's just in a different way.
Yeah.
It's just in a way when they want to bring something up, but they can't do it directly, so they do it passive-aggressively through humor.
And then when they get called out, they're like, nah.
Yeah, I'm just a funny girl, you know? I say offhanded things that would really offend him, in which case I'm working on being better at taking accountability for my actions right there. That was kind of a tell. Swallowing the fact that I'm not always right and apologizing to him. But sometimes I truly don't think I've done anything worth apologizing for, especially when I'm cracking jokes about the world around us or a situation having nothing to do with him.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with him. That's another story.
Sure, yeah. This typically sends us into escalating fights that are extremely frustrating. For example, recently my boyfriend was venting to me about how he had lunch with a friend who was always 20 plus minutes late and how frustrating it can be to have your time wasted like that. He was speaking very diplomatically and I responded with, oh, that's just like my friend so-and-so. They both live in their own little alternate realities. My boyfriend got so upset that I would make a comment like this about his friend. Okay, this is weird.
I think he got upset maybe because you're making it about you.
And seemed even more upset that I would say that about my own friend.
Is that why
also,
upset?
That's not even barely a dig.
Right. Why would... I don't,
also, people, as someone who's late a lot, people are obsessed that it's like some deep plan that late people have. And it's like, literally, it's like either... It's like they just have too much to do, usually. Or they're just like bad at managing time. Like, it's not like a fucking plan to waste your time.
Yeah.
I recognized how it could be perceived as mean and apologize.
It wasn't mean though.
But I truly don't understand why he took it so personally when it had nothing to do with him. He sulked over it for hours. Oh, huh. I hate a sulking man.
Wait, this is interesting.
Nothing I hate more than a sulking man. My own friend talks about how she's aloof all the time. So why does he care so much? These types of arguments also happen when he's upset / triggered about something that has literally nothing to do with me, i.e. work or friend issues. When I sense he's upset about something, I often get defensive after I ask him what's going on because he responds with an angry or standoffish tone. So I assume he's upset with me. And as a result, I tend to make the conversation about me or our relationship, which again escalates the situation.
Yes,
I know I can afford to be more perceptive in these scenarios and just give him space, but it's so hard to not get defensive when I'm trying to communicate and understand the needs of my partner. And I'm met with an angry tone. Where's the part where it's fun to be around him? This seems like a large percentage of the relationship. He says he's aware of his sensitivity and short fuse and his inability to articulate his feelings sometimes and is working on it. It's gotten better over the course of our relationship, but it's still a pattern I want to break if we were going to be together long term. I mean, you've already been together long term. I feel like I'm often walking on eggshells and it's not my job to regulate his emotions. I don't want to sacrifice parts of myself to appease him, but I want to make sure I'm not minimizing or constantly misinterpreting his feelings too. It's also like you've been together a long time to still not kind of understand what's going to make him upset and just to avoid saying it. I've done some research on HSPS, highly sensitive person.
This is another label for I'm not going to own my behavior.
Everything doesn't. Yeah, exactly. Everything isn't a disorder. Sometimes someone's just a sensitive little baby boy and think he might be one. But I've never brought it up to him and he is not interested in therapy.
There's a huge red flag.
Thinking he can work on it on his own. I want to look up what it actually says for. I've never even heard of highly sensitive person as an actual diagnosis.
I have, but like. And a lot of like personality disorders, like borderline personality disorder, that can oftentimes come with this sensitivity to like the person who is borderline thinking that they're always being talked about or that you're trying to like dig at them when you're genuinely not.
Right.
And they're like overly, they're hypersensitive to looking out for something that's not there. And it's very frustrating.
So like, it literally on Psychology Today, it literally describes highly sensitive person as they're a subset of the population who are high in a personality trait known as sensory processing sensitivity. Those with high levels of SPS display increased emotional sensitivity, stronger reactivity to both external and internal stimuli, pain, hunger, light, and noise. I mean, this is what is this, a Jew? Like,
or a Pisces?
this is insane.
I'm like, I have all those things. You just kind of have to toughen up.
Yeah, it says oh my god, it says what the fuck. HSPs are thought to be more disturbed than others by violence, tension, or feelings of being overwhelmed. They may as a result make concerted efforts to avoid situations in which such things are likely to occur. On the more positive end of the trait, high sensitivity is thought to be linked to higher levels of creativity, richer personal relationships, and a greater appreciation for beauty.
I'll say.
If you react strongly to criticism, become physically and emotionally overstimulated more easily than others do, and have a rich inner life, you're on another planet. That was a nice way of saying that. You may score highly in sensory processing sensitivity. You may also feel as if you have a higher capacity for empathy and are quite sensitive to others' moods. I mean, yeah, this is just a type of person. The fact that they're actually labeling it, I find it to be alarming. Okay, so I think he might be a highly sensitive person, but I've never brought it up to him, not interested in therapy. So I'm worried this will never change and I'll be stuck in an emotional communication style with this relationship.
Unless you leave it.
So my questions to you guys are, how can I be a better partner to him in these moments while still advocating for myself? Oh my God, this is so tiring, being in a relationship, and my personality. And how can we actually break this pattern of miscommunication to avoid these situations as much as possible in
therapy.
The first place? Wow, sorry, that was so long-winded. Thank you for your help.
Has to go to therapy, or I think that's a deal breaker. Because that is awful. Walking on eggshells around a person is awful, and doing it for that long is not. It's going to chip away at you slowly and you're going to hate him.
Yeah. I don't understand how you've gotten through 5 years, quite frankly, with when you don't understand each other's communication style. That seems like the number one thing that you would need to understand to last 5 years together. If you won't go to therapy by himself, ask him if he'll go to couples therapy with you, because I think what you really need to work on anyway is your communication with each other. Mm-hmm. Right. So, that would make sense because no doubt he's being ridiculous, but I feel like you're probably also being more of a cunt than you're.
There's a better way to go about this, and this is where therapy comes in. It's going to be a huge relief to you guys to have like an unbiased person help you both navigate this conversation and to call both of you out where you deserve to be called out. You know, once they get a sense of your dynamic.
Yeah, because it seems like you might wear the pants in this relationship, which you got to be careful of that dynamic. You know, again, I'm saying these things as someone who knows, with someone with masculine energy.
Yeah. And as somebody who has been very sensitive my whole life, and like I get butthurt, and I get less butthurt as I get older. You just got to work on it. Yeah. But you have to also explore like, why does he feel pangs in his heart when you say something like, oh my God, my friend is also late, you know, when he's bringing up how late his friend is. Like, you know, he needs to get better at communicating with you what the fuck is going on in his mind. Because was he trying to tell you something and he just wanted to be listened to and he didn't want your commentary? Like, maybe that's what was happening. I don't know. For him to get mad that you said that about your own friend doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense. But also the fact that she used the phrase advocating for myself when it has to do with like when it's about conversations that aren't even about you, I feel like you're fighting the wrong fight.
Yes.
Right? Like, I don't feel like you have to, like, I think, you know, because you use words like boss bitch and this kind of stuff. Right. So that to me is saying that like you might be overcorrecting the way a lot of women do, who kind of weren't always like strong and maybe kind of built up this strength inside them. And then they overcorrect on the other side. And so like, if you constantly feel like you need to advocate for yourself when you're just having like pretty casual conversations with your boyfriend, you might be overcorrecting. Like you can also just kind of like, no, like these types of jokes are jokes I have to tell around my friends, not my boyfriend. Like you don't need to keep telling the kind of jokes that upset him in this quest to advocate for yourself. Like unless you feel like you're truly having to change who you are and your core sense of humor around him. Like we all know the types of jokes that certain people like and certain people don't. And we can steer clear of those mm-hmm. around certain friends or family members. Like it's really not that difficult.
And let us know how therapy goes, because you should go to it.
Yeah.
Next subject line. I'm so comfortable that I can't come. Hi, Corinne and Christina. Longtime listener of the show since 2018, including the Luminary stint. Well, we're still there, so thanks. Insert the obligatory, love you guys, changed my life. Also, like Christina found out as an adult, I'm a donor-conceived Ashkenazi Jew. So I really enjoy hearing about Christina's story on that. Anyways, I'm 27 years old, and I'm currently in a nearly two-year relationship with a guy I met on Hinge. Emotionally, things are going very well, and I think it's the healthiest relationship I've been in yet. Physically, things are pretty much really good. Except one issue. In the past year, I've had a really hard time orgasming. I've always been on antidepressants since 2017, and so I don't think it can be chalked up to only that, although I'm sure it's a factor. But also, when this started happening, things in my life were just going really well, so I don't think it can be related to emotional upset either. The thing is, when we spend the night together and I get in bed with him, I just want to snuggle up and cuddle and get nice and warm and cozy. To the extent I even think about sex, it's honestly just anxiety about him initiating, because then I have to take off my clothes, get chilly, and also get active. Okay, you don't want to fuck.
Yeah, you're friends. You've turned into friends.
Yeah, if this is what you're thinking about, oh,
that's
darn,
why you're
I'm
not
cold.
Coming, because it's your friend.
When we have sex, I prefer laying on my side or him being on top of me, just laying down, being comfortable. I also don't prefer morning sex when I'm as dry as a bone or the Sahara Desert down there. I didn't used to be like this. A previous boyfriend called me a sex pot and couldn't keep up with me. I wonder if it has anything to do with aging.
You're 27. That's not aging. Relax. Pump the brakes.
Anyway, I've been reading a book Christina mentioned on the podcast previously, Mating in Captivity. It's a great book, which posits that comfort and sexual attraction are contrary forces and that you need to get uncomfortable to regain sexual attraction in a long-term relationship. The thing is, while the book is helpful on the main point, I'm having trouble thinking of ways to actually implement this. My questions are the following. Number one, do you guys both agree with the book's basic premise that you have to get uncomfortable to regain waning sexual attraction in a long-term relationship? Number two, if so, what does getting uncomfortable look like to you? What advice do you have on getting uncomfortable and regaining that sexual attraction?
I'm going to have trouble masturbating tonight because of this list of questions about orgasming. Like, you know, again, like if when you're talking about sex, you shouldn't be using the word implementing. That's your number one issue. You're going about this like it's some kind of a fucking study.
Yeah.
Lick your finger and start rubbing your clit.
Yeah,
lady.
Do something.
Like, what are we talking about here?
I would say less talking and more doing, but the doing should be kind of minor. Like, just like, you know, like when you're at a bar next time with him, like, you know, if this feels natural to you, this is just an example I'm throwing out there. If it doesn't resonate, throw it the fuck in the trash. Take his hand and put it on your pussy or something like that. Like something like super random and flirty and hot in public. That's like just a blip. And then maybe that'll get you going. But also consider that you don't want to fuck him anymore.
Yeah.
And
it happens.
It happens. And if this is something like, did you go off on how much you loved him? I don't, not really.
Did you go off on how much you loved him?
No, because the other girl did. And I'm like, okay, so there's a solid foundation here that's worth working on. You like him. You said it's your most emotionally healthy relationship. That's great. But you're 27. It's going to get even healthier as you get older, or you'll revert back. But, you know, sometimes that happens. But I think that I would consider pondering the fact that you are no longer attracted to him. And why? What are those reasons? And you got to ask these questions to yourself and then kind of gauge from there if you think this is something that can be revived. If this person is life-changing and you love him so much, there's ways to work around that. You can go to a sex club and not necessarily – you don't even have to take your clothes off. That could be very exciting. I think one thing that Esther Perel has said, she said it on her podcast once, and I was like, oh, god damn, is attraction plus obstacle equals excitement. So find a way to put some type of obstacle in there. You know, get creative.
Watch porn.
Mutual masturbation.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to read this little part at the end. I assume at this point you guys will recommend some form of communication with the boyfriend. He definitely noticed I haven't been orgasming as much lately. Well, I would hope he knows if you're not coming, and has brought it up a few times, but I told him it was a me problem, not about him, and something I needed to figure out on my own. I told him when I figure out a solution, I'll let him know. Mm-hmm. I think it's a you both. I think it's a problem with your guys' relationship.
I think it doesn't make you horny anymore.
Also, Eric, I forgot. We didn't really tell you. You can, if you have an idea, you can chime in. But we will throw to you, since you are closer to 27 than either of us.
I do have either the worst advice or the best advice.
Go ahead.
And that's
we'll let you know which one it was.
Yeah. So I used to date a girl, and she had higher testosterone levels than.
Did she get them checked?
The normal. That was checked.
She had a mustache.
Yeah.
You didn't need to check. You just needed to look at her face.
Who's JJ? No. No, but she had higher testosterone levels, so that made her like crazy. She was so horny all the time.
Mm.
And so maybe the advice is cold showers.
Does that increase your testosterone?
It does, yeah. Oh. Cold showers.
Well, this little girl doesn't like to get chilly.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. She hates being cold.
She hates being chilly.
I get it, girl.
That helps with that, too.
Yeah.
It helps you be more comfortable being chilly.
Yeah, it helps your nervous system. Yeah. It helps your nervous system fucking relax.
And the cardiovascular system that opens it up makes it easier.
Yeah, I mean, I think like if you truly want this relationship to work out, again, like not you want to, you have sometimes. This is what people don't understand. Like, so in this age of like being like, I don't want to say overly sensitive, but like being really in touch with our bodies and stuff. Sometimes the same way as you have to like have a conversation you don't want to have in a relationship. Sometimes you have to like kind of push yourself over a hump sexually to get horny again. Like, it's weird because sometimes it does feel like you're molesting yourself. And that's when you know it's time to go.
Yes.
But like sometimes you just get in this like comfy phase where you do want to cuddle and you're overeating at night and then you don't feel horny,
then you don't wanna fuck.
That kind of stuff. You need to work to get past that. That is part of the relationship. You like this, because there's a lot of letters that we get that are from girls who are like, I just kind of want to cuddle and hang out. Like, that's like not acceptable in a relationship, and it's not going to fly. Like, no one should ever be forcing you to do something sexually that you don't want to do. But being sexual is part of being in a romantic relationship. And so it is pretty much required, unless you guys have a conversation together, you're not going to seek that anymore in your relationship. In general, you're both going to be going to go asexual, which I've heard of before, or you can seek sexuality elsewhere.
Yeah.
So unless that is discussed, please assume, again, unless it's communicated otherwise, that it's pretty much required to stay sexually active to be in a relationship
to keep that bond
with your
going.
Partner.
Yeah.
And it's part of it.
We've said that. I've said this on the show so many times, but I was in a 7-year relationship that I enjoyed the whole time. And one of the main reasons was because our sex life was fantastic the whole time. There's ebbs and flows and stuff, but I don't think we ever got in a rut. And if we did, it was because I was like, get off me. But it didn't last for very long. I was DMing, this woman DM'd me because she heard our bonus
this woman
episode.
Or,
a separate woman on an issue kind of similar to this. Because she was commenting, I talked about the last Luminary bonus episode about an issue that I'm having in my relationship with regards to like uneven sex drives. And this woman was like, I really appreciate you talking about that. I feel the same way. Her and her boyfriend had gone to a sex therapist. They or her husband maybe, they ended up opening up the relationship because it turned out her male partner was like, I'm just not really that sexually active. Like, I don't want to fuck many people, but you can fuck whoever you want. And it worked for both of them. But one of their therapists said to us, either someone eats when they're full or someone feels hungry all the time. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, that resonated. That resonated with me. And it's like, what's it going to be? Eating while full, meaning just fuck each other. Just do it. It's not the worst thing, you know, unless, again, you feel like you're molesting yourself, unless you feel like you're raping yourself with your partner's body. No one deserves to be a part of that. Not you and not your partner, because that is not a fun thing to be on the receiving end of. So, but, you know, we all know sometimes when you get it in, you're like, oh, yeah, right, sex. I love it. And then you don't stop. You know, you get on a little wave of fucking.
Right. For me, it does concern me, though, that even when you guys are ending up fucking, that you're not coming.
Yeah.
Because even kind of when you, you know, eat when you're full, as Christina said, you should still be coming. And mm-hmm. the coming is very, it's like 99% of the time mental, I would say. So there's a disconnect somewhere and you got to fix that.
Oh, there's pictures.
Maybe she's bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it just feels friendly. And he looks like a guy that would you would easily go into friend mode with.
Yeah. That smile.
He's
too inviting.
He's gentle.
Yeah.
He has
a gentle
energy.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine who was had a similar thing with the girl he was seeing. And they went to Amsterdam and went to a sex club. They didn't switch it up with each other. But they
that's
just
so
fucked,
risky and fun.
Yeah. They just fucked in a sex club and now it's been good.
Really?
So yeah, just buy a ticket to Amsterdam. Yeah.
Go to the red light district.
Raise your testosterone.
Yeah, take a cold shower in your hotel room and then get on over that sex club, baby girl.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes, especially in your late 20s, like when you go into friend mode with someone, there's this fear. Like, I don't want to lose this person because I've never experienced a friendship, especially with someone of the opposite sex, if you're heterosexual, on this kind of an intimate level. But you need to learn to decipher the difference between someone who is a close, intimate friend. Because we think there's friends and relationship, when in reality there's this gray area in between. And I have mm-hmm. this with a lot of my gay friends where we are more intimate than me and my gal pals, you know, there's like a sexual like vibe there, but I don't want to be their girlfriend. And that is a space that you have to learn how to recognize. And that space is not enough to sustain a relationship. And
you guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It's looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
So people will get hurt in that space.
Word.
This next subject line says, what do you do when you hate his family?
You don't talk to him.
Dear Corinne and Christina, huge fan of the podcast and always appreciate the unfiltered advice you give to all your listeners. The issue I write to you about today has been an ongoing annoyance in my long-term relationship which is that my boyfriend's family is god awful. This was just happening on Gilmore Girls. In the beginning, I really tried to get to know them, making an effort to ask his mom to get lunch. That was your mistake.
Much. What? You don't got to do that, girl.
Yeah, there was your mistake.
Girl.
Right there. Too much. Too thirsty. Inviting his sister-in-law to get drinks to celebrate finishing her finals. Relax. Relax.
This is your family?
And spending copious dinners with them. As it's been made apparent how important it is to my boyfriend.
Okay.
Oh, God. Unattached. It doesn't seem important enough to him, though, for him to try to help facilitate any connection between me and his family. There you go.
So
break up.
Stop hanging out with him.
Break up. And will often leave me alone with the women in his family while he dicks off with the men. All right, this guy sucks. I've gotten to the point that I'm really just tired of putting any effort in, as his brother, sister-in-law, and mom can be genuinely exhausting, constantly interrupting everyone else to talk about the latest gossip on people none of us know, making any little thing into a competition, and never asking anyone else about their lives. I literally love when no one asks me about my life. It's my favorite thing. They openly mock my relationship to my boyfriend and say backhanded comments to me that make me feel like shit.
Like what?
Who cares what they think? All for my boyfriend to claim he didn't hear it when I bring it up afterward. Unfortunately, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Girl, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You think this guy's whole family sucks and he's great? That's very rare. First off, his mom has a lot of opinions about me that I wish she would just confront me about. How old are they? That you're spending this much time with a family?
I hope you're 17.
Yeah.
If you're not 17, this is fucked
so
up.
Weird. First off, his mom has a lot of opinions about me that I wish she would just confront me about. I'll frequently catch her looking me up and down, to which she will say something like, oh, I've never seen you wear that.
Shut the fuck up,
what
lady.
Does that even mean?
You know what I would have said back? Middle finger.
She makes the same huge deal about my tattoos every time they come out and is constantly fucking with my hair.
Ew.
Huh?
She touches your hair?
This is weird.
No.
I live in an artsy kind of alternative city, so I don't personally think my style is too crazy.
It's not.
It literally doesn't matter what your style is.
Yeah.
I like to express myself with my clothes, makeup, et cetera, while maintaining an overall professional facade as I work in the medical
field.
You're
defending yourself when nothing needs defending.
Sometimes she'll ask me something about my life just to immediately interrupt before I can even get the sentence out, often projecting across the room to have a full conversation in her native language with her mom or whoever is there to listen. And I'm left wondering why she even asked the question if she didn't intend on listening to the answer.
I wonder if she's one of those no woman is good enough for my son moms.
There also might be like a cultural thing where she, like, if this chick's white, she doesn't want her son with a white chick. Most of what she does is somewhat typical old person behavior, but it's just really just a cherry on top. All old people aren't rude, just so you know.
Yeah, some old people are.
And the
really
joke is
cool.
She's probably like 55. She's probably not even old. But it's,
again, I hope this writer is 17.
Yeah, but it's really just the cherry on top of the other dynamic I have to deal with. His sister-in-law, who even cares about someone's sister-in-law?
Yeah, that's
not
even
a family
that
member.
That doesn't even count.
What? His sister-in-law does a lot of the classic catty bullshit. She walks or stands in front of me to close me off from the group.
I would laugh so hard if that happened to me. I'd be like, what the fuck?
And makes passing comments about my race. Okay, she
ew.
To her husband when she knows I'm the only one in earshot. I'm confused who is, everyone's different races, but like who's what race.
Which one? Yeah.
She interacts with me briefly only to try to shove alcohol down my throat before returning to her long-winded transphobic story about a client at her Botox clinic while consistently misgendering them. I'm openly queer on my social media, so I can tell she's deliberately trying to pick fights with me, but I grew up with all brothers and always respond the same way by being as neutral as possible in my response or pretending I don't hear her.
That's a good tactic, honestly.
This tactic has worked for me in the past with catty women and generally works with her as the night progresses, but I always have to restart with each get together and wait for her to tire herself out and leave me alone.
Never hang out with this family again. It sounds like you hang out with this family a lot.
Yeah.
Why are you there all the time?
Weird. She's always, but the bottom line here is he is doing no work to facilitate the relationship between you two so that he doesn't love you enough.
And also, and how dare you fucking tell me it's really important for me to bond with your family and then you're not there to manage it in any way. And there's no way he doesn't know his family sucks. There's no way he doesn't know that.
Well, he might not, but I think that also could be because he sucks.
Right?
Yeah. She's always asking me what my boyfriend bought me for my birthday, Christmas, etc., only to chime in immediately by showing me a screenshot of the new Gucci purse she got just because, making sure to let me know how expensive it was.
Ooh, cool.
What is this, Saltburn?
I know.
His brother, though, is probably the most obnoxious of them all. He's a public defender in our city and loves to tell detailed stories about his cases, most That's of which illegal. Involve... not if you can't... If you, not if you don't say, like, who it is. Okay. Most of which involve him having to defend a client who brutally murdered an animal or is facing rape charges. He tells these stories while maniacally laughing that some bitch broke up with him, so he broke into her apartment while she was at work and killed her dog. Ha ha ha. Too bad. He didn't realize her Ring camera was going to catch the whole thing.
Okay.
He's constantly belittling my boyfriend, calling me the man of the house and him the bitch in the relationship, and making
his family sucks
wild claims about how I'm controlling just because I'm not a cheerleader housewife type like his spouse. If he knew anything at all about our relationship, I could be open to his criticism, but I can't make a comment about anything without him coming at me ready to start an argument. One time in particular, I can't believe you're still in the relationship. I wouldn't have even gotten through paragraph one and still been in the relationship.
Defended you. That's crazy.
One time in particular, he worked himself into a screaming match with himself after he tried to incorrectly mansplain something to me related to the field I work in, to which I finally responded, "Wouldn't I know, though? It's easy to tell that all he wants is for women not to talk or have opinions. So I've resorted to just distracting myself with random thoughts and staring into space while he's droning on, waiting patiently for it to be time
Girl,
to go
don't
home.
Don't put yourself through this.
All of this being said, what really drives me crazy is that my boyfriend just sits there as I'm fighting for my life with these people.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
He is so deep in his delusions about his family that he still accepts me to show up for hangouts again and again when it's super clear that it wouldn't make a difference if I was there or not. I've even made the joke that he could get a cardboard cut out of me to bring to dinner instead, and my cardboard self would get the same level of interaction as the real me does. It's just really just a waste of my time at this point.
Yes, correct.
He always insists that his mom didn't mean that comment like that and that you just haven't spent enough time with them, but it hasn't gotten better. He's always like, yeah, it was weird that my brother yelled at you like that instead of sticking up for me in the moment. It's getting to the point... Yeah, it's not getting to the point. It's past the point.
Yep.
It's getting to the point that I'm not even sure if staying in this relationship is worth this treatment.
It's not.
Yeah. I mean, this... I mean...
Yeah, you already determined you needed to break up with him before he told you.
Yeah, like, I don't even, like, know how hot this guy would need to be for this to be right.
His cock would have to be so huge, and he'd have to be trying to put it in me all the time.
Yeah.
For me to a little bit tolerate this.
But since my boyfriend's mom just started implementing a monthly dinner, this literally is Gilmore Girls, with us, I felt the need to reach out for some straightforward advice on this situation.
Yeah.
Leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything else I can do other than completely shutting down in these environments? Is it okay? Yeah, this is ridiculous, dude. Is it okay for me to decide not to hang out with his family anymore if my boyfriend refuses to do anything to help? You should refuse to hang. I don't understand why you want to be with this guy.
Yeah, you want a man who defends your honor. He ain't doing that.
This is ridiculous.
He's too much. He's still sucking his mom's teat.
Yeah, this is.
He'll get through it eventually in his life, I hope. Hopefully, you guys
I don't know that he will.
Oh, no, she's 28 and he's 30. Oh, wait, no. My boyfriend is 25. Okay, he's 25. Okay, you should definitely still break up with him, but he'll learn on his own, and it'll be a crushing, and he'll do whatever he wants with it, but that's his own journey.
Yeah. Is there any way to help him not be a pussy?
Dump him.
I've spoken about this many times with my boyfriend, to which he always apologizes profusely for his family, but nothing changes about how he responds. Aww. When we're in the moment. I'm curious about each of your experiences with your partner's family. I don't hang out with my partner's families. You guys are just like, you guys are living this life that you've seen in movies and on TV that you don't need to live. I don't like hanging out with people's families, and so I don't hang out with people's families. It's really quite simple, and I also don't make them hang out with mine. Mm-hmm. And if they're not okay with that, that's not the person for me. Like, it's just not...
I don't really have a family, so jury's out. But I was this guy. I was your boyfriend for a while, for sure. And I would get, like, pissed off and offended. Like Steven used to say stuff about my mom a lot. And then I realized he was right eventually throughout the relationship because we were together for a while. And then one year at Christmas.
It's the only thing me and Steven agreed on, I know. Actually, quite frankly.
One year at Christmas, we had this annual Christmas tournament that we had every year at my house in my basement where we would like compete for Christmas presents. It was really fun. But in the middle of it, and Steven's family, who I, oh, angels and saints. Thank God. That was very helpful for me. But they came over and we were all there, and my ex-boyfriend called my mom a bitch, and it was just a record scratch. And I was like, uh-oh, that's not good. But I was like, oh, he's kind of right. Uh-oh, what do I do? And then they had a fight in front of me, and honestly, it was pretty cool. But he did defend my honor, and it honestly made me be with him for another year and a half.
Right, but that's interesting.
I was so turned
because
on
that's
by
defending
that.
Your honor, though. So that's easier for him to call your mom a bitch than to call his own mom a bitch, right?
I guess.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I mean, now I can. Yeah.
So I think that's like men have a lot of trouble with their relationship with their own mothers. Mm. It's really weird.
Do you have a weird relationship with your mom?
No, I love my mama.
Okay, but even the way you said it, that was fucking disgusting.
You're still sucking her booby.
You love your mama?
Yeah, I just said it like that to troll you guys.
Yeah. Well,
it worked.
Mm-hmm. No, I have a good relationship. We talk like once a week.
Okay, that's healthy. That seems healthy. That's all I know about you guys, but.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
She says, I'm curious about each of your experiences with your partner's families and if you've ever been in situations like this where you felt completely alone and trying to navigate someone else's family and how long it took you to give up. If it matters for context, I'm a 28-year-old female. My boyfriend is 25. His brother is 31. His sister-in-law is 30 and his mom is in her 60s. Your boyfriend's too immature. Like, I think 28 and 25, you're really going to see the age gap there. You got to wait until yeah, this is just not working.
Did this work?
Give up.
Go up. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Give up.
Move on. Like,
this is a little baby.
Give up on him and stick with yourself.
Yeah.
Or what might make you feel better is go to that family dinner and just troll and get into the argument. Because that might make you feel better.
It might be fun.
It might make you feel better.
Especially if you have nothing to lose.
How have you not lost your lady boner for your boyfriend's inability to stick up for you or to like fucking tell his brother to shut the fuck up? Like, that to me, no, that is not, that's such a pussy behavior. He doesn't have to call his own mother a bitch, but he just has to like chime in and go, hey, why are you treating her like that? It's so simple.
Yeah.
And it shows so much respect towards you. If he expects you to hang out with his family and he's not doing that, yeah, break up.
He's like still part of his.
It's not worth it.
He's still part of his original family and he's not ready to build a family with someone new. Like that's the difference. That's the difference between a boy and a man. A boy chooses his mother first. A man has to choose his wife first. Mm-hmm. There's no way around it. I would never, ever go with someone who is choosing his mom over me. And I know that that's like a big argument that a lot of people have. And people are comfortable with choosing their mom first.
I would even
take like being on the same level as mom. Like I would take that, but not being a second choice, because then there's no point in me marrying you.
Yeah.
There's no point.
Ugh.
It's fine.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah. Being a man is creating your own family and then prioritizing that. Being an adult.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next subject line. My partner is overweight and it's affecting our sex life. Hi, Corinne and Christina. I'm a huge fan. I need a good, honest roasting. I'm a 28-year-old female. My partner is a 30-year-old male. I've been with my partner for almost 3 years, and when I met him, he had a bit of a beer belly. And over the course of our relationship, he has gotten bigger. To give you an idea, he's 5'10", weighing around 200 to 250 pounds.
That's way too much.
I was like, I don't know how much guys weigh. I don't even know
if
that's a lot.
My dad was 6'6" and didn't even weigh 200 pounds.
Oh.
I mean, he was thin, but not like skinny, not like super, like, you know. He was like, you know, at times like 190 at 6'6". Eric, can we ask how much you weigh?
I'm 6'3", 185.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Got it. Yeah, it's boy weight. I can't. It's hard. Before we even got together, he mentioned that he wanted to lose weight, so I entered into the relationship expecting him to fulfill this promise to himself because I didn't have any reason not to. I thought he was great, cute, and I figured I could be a little patient and wait for him to get in shape. Not only has that not happened, which is disappointing, but worse, my libido has checked out of the building as a result. Also too, like when someone just isn't working on themselves, like they don't have to be fucking stick thin and they don't have to be jacked. But like when they're not healthy, it is such a turnoff. Ugh. Ugh. You could be physically attractive and not take care of yourself. And I think that's so disgusting. I very recently took a job and we have agreed to do long distance and have been for about 3 months so far.
You're slowly breaking up with him.
Yep. Yes. Up until then, we were having sex maybe once a month.
What?
When we were living together, I just stopped wanting to have sex. But now that we are apart, my libido is perking back up again. Yeah, because you're not around him.
Yeah.
And I'm masturbating a lot. Yeah, because he's not there.
Yeah.
Again, he is mentioning that he wants to work out. There is no try. There's only do. Okay. Yeah. You either do it or you shut the fuck up about it.
We live in 2024. If you want to work out, you literally that
just
moment
up,
go to YouTube.com and pull up any of the thousands of workout videos that are for free or on TikTok or on Instagram.
I follow all these booty chicks on Instagram that give you booty workouts where you need no equipment. You barely even need a mat and they fucking burn your ass.
There are so
many.
Fun.
Yeah,
or go for a fucking walk around the
block.
Yeah,
it doesn't even have to be
something.
A run. Up until then, we were just having sex maybe once a month. When we were living together, stopped wanting to have sex. Now I'm masturbating again. He is mentioning that he wants to work out, and he has started to a little, but I don't want to wind up in the same position as before, especially now that I'm starting to rethink how important sex is to me. My libido has returned, and I want to be sexually attracted to my partner.
The only thing worse than a boyfriend not working out is a boyfriend who works out a little.
Honestly, Corinne's completely correct in that.
In my head, he has a 2-pound weight that you use like during Soul Cycle that's on the back of your bike.
What's the
and he's
point?
Going like this. I worked out a little today. Ew.
I mean, look, brick by brick, baby, but come on.
Ew.
Come on. And also, what is his diet like? Because if he's eating shit food, he's not going to have the motivation to work out. So he needs to start there and then he'll actually have some more energy to like lift a 5-pounder, you know?
Yeah, I think he's depressed. Also, if you started dating him and he had a beer belly that was actually from beer, not just like you're not just using that like colloquially, like, yeah, he might be a depressed alcoholic. Like good chance ask, of that. There's a lot more depressed alcoholics than I think we're calling everyone narcissists and we're calling other things. I think we're not really looking at the core issue that a lot of men are overweight alcoholics that are depressed. Okay.
And it makes them not want to fuck, makes them not want to work out, makes them not want to be there for you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be there for that.
Yeah.
Okay. We've been together for 3 years and he's the best partner I've ever had.
Well, maybe you've never had a good partner before. All right. I'm so tired of this. This is the best. This is their healthiest. Well, and then you tell us this laundry list of things that are the problem. In the best relationship I ever had, there just wasn't this many issues.
Yeah. Well, the only issue that she's saying, I guess, well, there's two.
She doesn't want to fuck him. That's a big problem.
Yeah, she doesn't want to fuck him. And he's saying he's going to work out and he never does. That to me, I can't trust you for a future. I don't know if you want kids or not, or like if it's a maybe or whatever. You know what? That person's not going to be a good dad.
But also people tell you who they are, right? So you met him. He already had the beer belly. What did you think? He was going to all of a sudden get chiseled? Like, when you meet someone, you should factor in your head if they got 30% worse looking, would I still be attracted to them?
That's what you need
to walk into it with. Because
because
most people get less attractive in a relationship. It is extremely rare that they get better looking. And if they do, they're probably preparing cheating on you.
100%. That's what that's for. That's why we get swole and get abs. But yeah, I've been at the last relationship I was in was with somebody who was like always wanted to work out and never did. And I'm like, I swear to fucking God, if you tell me you want to work out one more time, I'm going to punch you in the face.
I saw him go to yoga like once or twice.
Yeah. But I'm like, you don't drink. Do something. But then my partner now, like one of the many things I love about him is like, I don't have to tell him shit. Like he knows. He's like, I'm eating way too many cookies late at night. And then he'll like fucking go hard balls to the walls, working every day, go for it. And I'm like, and I am not involved in his wanting to make himself better in any way. And it's such a breath of fresh air.
Mm.
So I will say, as somebody who's enjoying that in a partner right now, it could be you too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is nice. When someone looks in the mirror and goes, wow, I look like shit. Maybe I should fix this.
So he's the best. Yeah.
It's nice.
It's so nice.
I've done it many times.
Yeah.
I looked in the mirror and go, well, yeah, you ain't looking good. Let's do something about this.
We got to turn right around back into the gym.
Yep.
We've been together for 3 years. Best partner I've ever had. I'm not ready to walk away yet. So I really need some guidance on how
he's not ready to walk
him.
Yet.
Yeah.
Am I right?
He's not ready to run. He's not ready to lift. He ain't ready to even go on a bicycle.
Walk being the operative word.
Yeah. I was going to say, you can trick him into working out by like going for a bike ride, but I'm like, no, this shouldn't be on you. I've never mentioned how his weight and lack of action doing anything about it is affecting our sex life because I don't want to hurt his feelings.
Oh God.
He is genuinely a good man and I don't want to hurt him. What you allow is what will continue. That's a quote that she wrote. So how do I course correct? Now, you have to have a conversation with him. You have to. How else would he know that this is what you're thinking? He deserves to know what you're thinking. And you deserve to have your partner know what you're thinking. He's not going to guess it. Odds are he doesn't feel great about himself. Maybe Kurt's right. Maybe he is depressed. But you have to broach this conversation. Depressed or not, you can still go about it in a respectful way and say, look, we've been together for 3 years and I have to be honest with you. My attraction to you is waning because I hear all this talk about you wanting to like get in shape and take care of yourself, but you don't get in shape and take care of yourself. And that is such a pussy dryer. I got to be honest. And one thing that I know would fix it is if you actually follow through with all the promises of taking care of yourself. Because if you don't follow through with that and you keep making empty promises, this relationship is going nowhere and I'm going to have to break up with you. But I love you so much that I would love to have a discussion to see if there's something that, we can do.
Yeah. See, you can talk about someone's weight from the perspective of health.
Cause don't just call him a fat.
Yeah. You don't have to be like, I'm not unattracted to you. That kind of thing. You can be like, my attraction for you is like waning because of like your lack of motivation for helping yourself. Like it mm-hmm. doesn't have to be my attraction for you is waning because you are fat. You
yeah,
see, those are two
that.
Very different sentences. And like the way Christina just worded it was like, you're still getting it the point across without actually saying like your aesthetic appalls me, which is what you feel in your heart. You know, there are ways to express things in a less hurtful manner
yeah.
while still getting your point across, mm-hmm. you know? Because it's also like there's so much walking on eggshells that we do as women because we're so afraid of hurting everyone else. Well, people literally murder us. So maybe we should get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can hurt someone's feelings, you know, because they're going to shoot you up in your yoga class.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah. And you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from the Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
My husband's best friend started dating his dead best friend's widow.
That happens a lot.
Yeah. Hi, Corinne and Christina. Long time. They're dead. What the fuck it matters?
They're probably, honestly, their spirit's probably happy for their boo getting some dick.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Whatever.
Hi, Corinne and Christina. Long time fucker and luminary subscriber. I love to hear your thoughts about the situation my husband and I are currently in. I hope this all makes sense. Yeah, that's every letter we get.
And your husband is not in it either.
I injected myself into a situation that I'm actually not in.
Maybe help me.
Yeah, this email is probably about
outside yourself.
That you're bored in your relationship. My husband, John, in quotes, had been friends with this guy, Ben, in quotes, for almost 10 years. They considered each other to be best friends and also coworkers. Ben has clinical depression. Welcome to the club, Ben. I mean, I'm not in it, but a lot of men are.
Yeah.
He's extremely, that was the other men in the other emails, is extremely pessimistic and can be charming, fun, and hilarious on a good day. Oh, fun. John has a lot of hobbies that bring him joy and is an optimistic person. He sees the good in people and really gives everyone the benefit of the doubt. John's a sucker. The last few years of John's friendship with Ben were pretty rough for John because Ben always has a cloud of negativity over him. Mm. He has low self-esteem and self-worth. Oh. Nothing makes him happy. Not his dog, not the house he bought or his six-figure salary. I can understand the house and the salary. The dog.
Yeah, how does a dog? Because you have to look within for happiness. You can't source it outside yourself, but that dog should bring something out
of it. Yeah, if a dog it doesn't make you happy, it might be the end.
Yeah, you need to go on a pill.
Yeah, that's actually when I became really concerned about my mental health after my dad died, when like sometimes even my dog wasn't like doing it for me. I was like, this is a problem.
Yeah.
He complains about everything and is a total energy vampire. And that bad energy was starting to affect John and he slowly began to distance himself. Ben eventually moved away last year to Seattle. John noticed his day-to-day life improve. The best way I could describe their 10-year friendship in a nutshell is John is Ben's hype man and cheerleader. He was always so accommodating to Ben's emotional needs and Ben could never reciprocate. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's what you saw. Yeah. And also it's just like, I like how we're making out like John is this little perfect angel boy and Ben's like, you know, Eeyore. But also it's like it was John who chose to stay in the relationship that long. He could have left at literally any time.
Yeah.
John lived in a different country, Finland, for his entire high school years, which is where he met his best friend, Hank. All right. Even after John moved away for college across the world to California from Hank, they maintained their friendship and visited each other when they could. Hank married, and when his wife, Bethany, was 8 months pregnant with their baby, they got the devastating news that he had a brain tumor, glioblastoma. Aww. Before he was scheduled for surgery, Hank asked John and I if we could be the godparents to his baby. Aww. We accepted. The next 3 years were a fucking roller coaster of emotions for all of us. Hank went on to get 90% of his tumor removed and everything was looking great. When Hank finished his first round of chemo and radiation, John and I booked a trip to go see him and meet our god baby for the first time in person. Mm. Ben invited himself, tagged along on the trip. Sidebar, we are both people pleasers and didn't have the heart to tell Ben during his depression that we didn't want him to come. We learned a hard lesson of boundaries that year.
Yo, Ben, boo, you're too sad. You're going to ruin the mood. Please don't come.
Yeah. Or just you could have just been like, this is like, we're using this also as like a romantic vacation for each other because we're married.
Right.
We're together, whatever. This is the first time that he and Bethany met. Ben was annoying this entire trip, and I vented to Bethany about my regret for not speaking up and telling him myself that I didn't want him to come. But Bethany also had a moment where she vented to me about Ben because of the awful things he was saying about single moms on Tinder.
Oh, what?
This is where she let me know that although 90% of Hank's tumor was removed, the doctor said that it will come back, and when it does, there was no getting rid of it.
Oh, no.
Happy New Year.
Bethany and Ben.
Oh, my God.
They're hooking up.
Oh, for sure.
Shit.
They estimated that he had 10 more years to live. I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's enough time for the love to fizzle out.
True.
You know, 10 years.
I mean, I'm going to want to fuck you by the end of that.
Yeah, I go, what's going to take you first, the tumor or my annoyance with you? So it was weighing on her that she would eventually be a single mom. I mean, in 10 years.
Jesus Christ, you're putting the cart before the horse. But obviously he died sooner.
Yeah.
Shit, that's terrible.
Fast forward, the tumor came back a year later, and in November of 2023, Hank passed. I mean, that was a really bad estimate by the medical community.
Yeah.
Passed away after being in hospice care for 3 months. They were really off in that estimation.
Christ.
That was really off.
Yeah.
John and I attended his funeral. After the service, we hung out with Bethany at the bar at a bar for a long, long time.
Yeah, yeah. Girl, get that drink in you.
Damn. Towards the end of the night, Bethany casually brings up Ben.
Arnar.
And says that he's been an unexpectedly good, supportive friend to her while Hank had been in hospice.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's where, you know, sad people kind of thrive. Once we were alone, John told me that he felt sick when he heard Ben was being an emotional support to her because, in John's words, Ben has had a pattern of finding vulnerable women and swooping them off their feet.
Oh, now Ben can be happy when he finds a sad lady who needs some dick.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a common pattern. Yeah. It's been his pattern ever since I've known him, and it always plays out the same way. They're either in or fresh out of a relationship, and he texts them every day, becomes their emotional support, and sleeps with them, starts a relationship.
Yeah.
John also let me know that he had not heard from Ben in a month. It's unlike Ben to ghost John because he is one of two friends that this guy has. Anyway, I thought he was dead. Yeah. Anyway, John.
Hank's dead.
Right. Anyway, John took Hank's death extremely hard. Aww. Ben knew how much Hank meant to John.
Oh, that's got to be weird for John.
And when John needed Ben's support most.
Oh, no.
John, he could finally show up and be a good friend.
Ben wasn't Bethany's pussy.
Yeah, Ben wasn't there. He was too busy, for lack of a better words, grooming Hank's wife.
Grooming?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say grooming in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's just taking advantage of a vulnerable woman. It's not grooming.
Bethany might be in the mood for some dick right now, you know? So let her have it.
Listen, like, I've never fucked anyone more repulsive than when I was grieving my dad. So it's just, just absolute disgusting human beings. It just happens. And you know what? After like the smoke cleared of the grief, I was like, you know what? Good on you. Good on you.
To the guy getting in there?
Yeah, for the couple of disgusting people that I fucked, like, you know what? Good on you for taking advantage of a situation, because you haven't taken advantage of, you know, how you look or your personality.
Or your body or your abilities.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Oh, that's fun.
Or your act, for that matter. That's several of them. Jesus. Real, really bad at comedy. To try to make a longer story short, Ben booked a trip to Lapland and invited Bethany. Bethany texted me to let me know that she was going on this trip as Ben's plan B because he had initially invited two of John's other Finnish friends and they declined.
No one wants to hang out with Ben. Ben's got to really clean it up. It's on Ben.
By the way, Ben didn't tell John about this trip until after Bethany told me, feeling guilty. I wished her luck going on this trip with this insufferable person and told her to let me know how the trip goes. They came back from this trip and neither John nor I had heard from them. Sus. A week after their trip, I reached out to Bethany to get an update and she wanted to schedule a FaceTime. That's never good.
Nope.
That same night that I scheduled the time to chat with Bethany, Ben called John. Ben told John, well, our friendship blossomed into a romance. Fucking gross. You're still too invested. John told Ben that he had crossed an ethical line because he began talking to her while Hank was in hospice.
John's just in pain.
Yeah. I mean, you know, seems like making a plan.
Yeah. Ben's strategic.
He seems more like carpe diem, you know?
Yeah.
He also told them that
mi casa es su casa, yeah, but with your wife, right?
Yeah. He also told him that he was repeating his pattern of finding vulnerable women.
He's not going to listen to that.
It's also kind of just like,
he can let him do that because Bethany, maybe Ben needs to learn to knock that shit off. And maybe Bethany needs to learn to not take that shit.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody's on their own lesson.
Yeah. And he told him he was repeating his pattern of fighting vulnerable women. Sorry, I keep yawning. And he was hoping he wasn't doing that to Bethany out of respect for Hank and his very recent death. These letters are so long. The timing is slimy. And also, there are so many other single women in the world. Maybe don't hook up with the dead best friend's wife.
Of course Ben is going to hook up with the dead best friend's wife. That's his MO.
Yeah.
And he's not going to stop until something happens, but that's not on you or your boo John to do. But you know what you can do? Stop talking to him.
The only thing weirder than like one person really invested in another person's relationship is when a couple gets really invested.
Ooh, and that's creepy.
I've had couples really invested in like my it's very fucking weird.
I don't like that.
It's very weird.
Ugh.
He was giving him the benefit of the doubt, but everything that his gut was telling him might be happening happened. Ben later sent John an email trying to redeem himself, and John responded by ending their friendship.
Good.
Well, it seemed like that should have happened a long time ago. When I talked to Bethany the next day, I found out that this Lapland trip that was to happen in January was booked in October. Hank died in November.
Well, again, it's their this life. This is their strategy. This none of this surprises me.
Yeah, Bethany told me that she genuinely thinks that Ben hooking up with her was not his intention, yes, but that was, she but really likes him now. We had a long talk where I did share with her my concerns about Ben that I thought she should be aware of, because it's not just her life that this man is going to affect. It's the babies as well. Wow, you are overstepping your boundaries wildly. He hates kids.
And she will find out that.
It's her kid. It's the reason why his last relationship of 4 years ended. I ended that conversation telling her that I will not be talking about Ben to her anymore since I don't have anything nice to say.
Good.
What is wrong with you? She just wanted to make sure that John and I will still be her friend and be there for the baby as her godparents.
Yeah, I think you should do that.
And I let her know that we were not upset with her and we wanted to maintain our friendship with her. I also told her that if in her heart she feels that this is the right thing for her, then she needs to ride the wave, because at the end of the day, she's a grown woman.
Good.
And she knows what's best for her.
Yes.
I her if her someone lessons. Called me and told me that I needed to live my life the way I needed to live it because I'm a grown woman, I would knock them out. The baby had her third birthday a week after this conversation. John and I sent a card. Wow, you're amazing. Almost 2 weeks go by and I haven't heard from her.
She's not going
to... Okay. You don't have to call someone when they send your baby a birthday card. Oh my God. You guys are really fucking annoying.
I think you need hobbies.
Yeah.
I think that's the theme of all of this.
Yeah. Almost. I think, yeah. The theme,
dump them and get a hobby.
Yeah. Almost 2 weeks go by and I haven't heard from her. So I texted her to ask how the baby's birthday went, asked how they were doing, and asked if the card made it. That is obnoxious.
That's some shit my mom
that's
would do.
Obnoxious.
Did you get my thing?
Oh, that's obnoxious.
You know what? No, I didn't.
You don't need to call to respond to a card. A card is a one way. She said, oh, yes. And I mean, I grew up in a house where we had very strict rules. Like my parents had very strict rules about like sending thank you notes and in this manners type shit like that. So I am not... You are taking this to another level. She said, oh, yes, we got it. I forgot to say thank you. You don't need to.
Yeah. She doesn't need to say thank you.
We texted back and forth a little until she stopped writing back. I won't lie. That rubbed me the wrong way. Everything rubs you the wrong way. You rub me the wrong way. We normally would have gotten a picture of the baby with her cake or something.
Well, shit changes.
Oh my God.
I get that this baby's your god kid. I assume what where they're coming from,
god
though.
Kid is also a fake thing.
We have to go do the live soon. But I assume that this is coming from like being hurt that like you're not over the death of Hank and it's too soon for you guys, but that's okay. Like they can do that. Like they can do whatever they want and it's okay. The fact that it bothers you is you should work on that.
Yeah.
You should really interrogate why this bothers you, what the real reasons are, because guess what? You cannot control anybody else's behavior. And if your happiness depends, and if your day going well depends on somebody else's behavior being a certain way, you're doing life wrong. I promise you, you're doing life wrong. We all are guilty of doing this, but you really need to visit that.
This is, yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, there's pictures.
Yeah, I can't. I can do this in 2 minutes. I can't help but feel hurt since she seems to be icing us out because of this guy. No, she's icing you out because you're annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
When she expressed so much concern about losing us after Hank passed away, I am also still helping John through his grief and seeing him hurt about Ben tainting our relationship with Hank's little family that left. And also, death brings out really the worst in people. Breaks my heart and makes me angry. John and I want to be there for the baby and honor Hank, but it's already hard with the distance. We can only do so much from afar. And now it's even harder because it seems to me that Bethany is picking this person that she barely knows over us. She's stigmatized, I guess. As of now, I have taken a step back on checking in on Bethany since our last text exchange. I left the ball in her court. What do you guys say? Are we overreacting? Yes.
Yes. Overreacting.
If you really care about Bethany, you'll be there for the baby and you'll stop fucking talking about the boyfriend.
Also,
end of the story.
You and John, just go fuck each other. You guys are so hot. Wow, they're really cute. That's Ben and that's Hank. Oh, Hank. R.I.P. Hank.
Yeah.
And that's Bethany. Let her grieve in the way she wants. And if she could like have a reprieve from her grief by fucking this new guy, it's not going to go well. Everybody knows that. That's okay. Let her do it.
Yeah, let her do whatever she
wants.
This is post-husband death. That's your rumspringa.
Yeah.
Like you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. And be there for her. And don't bring up Ben. Just... shut the fuck up about Ben. Let her enjoy it.
Yeah, you guys are meddling.
Honestly, I would go so far as to say you should allow her to talk about maybe she's excited about Ben and it's just something to distract her for a minute
yeah.
from the grief. She just had a baby with a man who passed away. That's going to be so heavy.
Yeah. John, I get his grief. You don't really seem to have that close of a relationship with Hank. So, I mean, all right. But it's like you want to be good friends, but on your exact terms.
Yeah.
And that's not what being a good friend is.
So reconsider that. Reconsider.
Sorry,
that.
I know you wrote this email thinking that we were going to not like the other people, but we ended up not liking you.
Yeah, but it happens. That's what you get when you write us. We're going to be honest. Eric, do you want to promote your dates now?
Sure. I was going to say, also, it sounds like they'd be good friends with the family that other listener
wouldn't. Oh, yeah, the critical family?
Yeah, exactly.
Y'all nosy. All the nosy people should hang out.
Yeah,
you have to let people make mistakes in life.
We need a nosy person daycare where you just go there, meet other fellow adults who are also nosy and gossipy, and y'all can just get it out on each other and leave us people out of it.
Yeah, and you can do things like if you don't want to hang out with them together, be like, oh, I'm going to take the baby to fucking like Legoland or something for the day, and you and John take the baby and do that.
And let Bethany get fucked by Ben.
Exactly.
Let her get that date.
There you go. That's how you be good godparents.
Yeah.
And Eric, we can see you live.
Ready? Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Edmonton, June 6th through 9th. Vancouver, August 1 through 4. Phoenix, September 5 through 8. Minnesota, July 19th through 21.
Just the whole state. It's a big one.
Yeah. I don't know. We're in Minnesota. Plano, Texas, 8 through 11.
And where can we get these tickets?
You can get them on houseofcomedy.com.
All of them?
They're all House of Comedy.
Yeah. Oh. Mm. Ooh, he's on the brand.
All right. There you go. Eric Freddy, everybody. Go see him live. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. Don't be a meddling friend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary. Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson. Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
Pain's still there, right where you left me, but I don't care, as long as you crave me when I'm not there, it feels like I'm losing my mind, to you it's fair, feeling this silence and empty stare, that you said goodbye with I cannot bear, the feeling of being broken.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.